Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to part two on a discussion of excellence. Jake and Steph both being extremely excellent. Let's crack on.
We're all British today, I guess. So there's something unattractive about perfection in our culture. It's not the same around the world. I've gigged a lot in Australia, America, India, South Africa, a lot of countries where the more perfect things are and the more perfect you are, the more attractive the person. But there's something in Britishness, isn't there, where we're like, it's perfect. Now, fucking wanker.
Yeah.
Like, there's something we reject, there's something we don't trust about perfection, and it's different to excellence, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But what's interesting is, when you're growing up, you put people on a perfect pedestal, don't you? Where you look at people, whether it's your peers or, you know, people in business or whatever, the industry you want to work in, and you look at them and think, oh my God, they're perfect. And I think that's intimidating as well. And that's another reason why I think, you know, women struggle because, for example, it's really hard to get business women to talk on telly because they know for a fact they will be judged more on their looks than anything they say. And I've had that happen where I've rang a company, it's got an amazing female CEO, and I'll be like, oh, Sandra, will you come on and do it? No, I'm going to get Steve to do it. And I'm like, why? And she's like, oh, no, I'm not right for telly. And that happens a lot. And I'm like, no, you're the role model, you need to come on. But because they don't look perfect, whatever that means, then they're afraid to. And I think one of the things that really stuck in my head, because, you know, as a TV presenter, as a woman, I am also judged on how I look. But a few years ago, I kind of thought, I'm never going to look like, you know, whoever's you want to put as your Holly Willoughbys or whoever else. But I don't need to, because that's not why people like me anyway. But it takes a bit of maturity to understand that about yourself. And also, the other thing I've always done is, I think everyone shit shags and shaves. And I think that then, in different frequencies, depending on what's going on in your life. But that has really helped me. Like, when I've had to...
I can't do any in my house. I've just moved. I can't do fucking any of those things.
But that's really helped me with interviews and stuff. Like, when I've had to interview a prime minister or whatever, I just go, they shit, shag and shave. So do I. Yeah. Like, we're all the same, really, no matter what you think. And that's really helped me when you think of people as not being perfect, everyone else might think is.
I love that. So I think it's worth just reading out this Canadian study. It's a bit longer than some of the studies I read out, so just give me like a couple of minutes. So excellence over perfectionism has been studied. And apparently excellence leads to more creativity than striving for perfection. It was 300 odd Canadian undergraduate students. They completed measures of perfectionism and excellenceism, if that's a word. Participants were shown statements about their goals, with some reflecting perfectionism. My goal at school is to be exceptionally productive all the time. And some excellenceism. For example, my goal is to perform very well. Rating how much they agreed with them on a scale from 1 to 7. Next, their creativity was tested with a divergent thinking measure. They were asked to come up with as many creative answers as they could to several questions, including tell us different ways you could use a newspaper, name all the things you can think of that make a noise, things like that. Finally, they completed a scale measuring openness to experience, which included questions about imagination, interest in art, intellect, and liberalism. The results revealed that the more participants strove for excellence, the greater originality and openness to experience they showed. In contrast, the more perfectionist participants had fewer original ideas and they were less open to experience. This suggests that an element of flexibility not present in perfectionism can improve our creative thinking.
It's interesting stuff. I mean, Well, I'm really big on flexibility. I think you need to have an idea of where you want to go, but you need to be really flexible about how you get there. And the problem with perfectionism, as it mentioned just there, right, is I think it stops people from exploring. Because I think basically, whereas excellence is like an ambition and a desire and a positive, I think perfectionism is a negative. It's almost like a kind of shackle that you put on yourself. And if you don't get there, then it's disappointing. So once you try a few times and you fail and you struggle, unless you've got unbelievable resilience, you basically stop going for it. And so then you stop exploring. And if you're not exploring, then you're not being flexible. And if you're not being flexible, you won't find the way around it. Like, I often look at the world, and I say this to my wife as well as my kids, like, there are two ways to look at the world. You can either look at it as a shifting mat that you're learning to dance on, or you can constantly say, oh my goodness, the rug's been pulled out from under my feet again. And like, the rug will constantly get pulled, and there'll be constantly issues and struggles and problems. And you've got to embrace like dancing on this rug and seeing all of the shitty things that will come your way as a positive. Yes, sorry, I shouldn't have sworn. Seeing all the bad things, I've got my little swear checker in the corner.
I like the way she came in like a sort of corrective rug, as you said.
Daddy!
How about you pull that swearing rug away?
There you go. I'm just dancing on the rug, making mistakes, and I'm not perfect, Florence. And that is so important, that we, this kind of flexible mindset to everything we do. Yeah. And if you want perfection, you're not going to have that flexible mindset.
Yeah. But don't you think that's the problem with the education system, is that it's a very rigid view of perfection and excellence is purely academics, which leaves no room for any kind of creativity or flexibility in learning. Like, the school I went to was in a really tough area, but we were really taught not just about academia, but the world of work. So loads of people from my school, which included hitmen's sons, drug dealers' sons, that type of thing, have done well because they didn't have the structure at home to be academic. But what they did have was incredible resilience, incredible skills at budgeting and finding money and whatever means it was. You know, they had all that. And the school put it to good use. They said to us, you'd be great at this job or whatever. They didn't go, you need to pass your English and maths GCSE. And that was that. And looking at all of how we've done that particular cohort in the school at the time, people have gone on to do amazing jobs, and I'm really proud of that, because we're from the area that was always bottom of the list for everything.
Do you think their system, Steph, is gamed against working class people achieving excellence?
Yeah, because the pure academic route is only really capable for people who've got the structure at home, the space at home and everything else to do all the additional learning. Great if you're lucky enough to be naturally academic, great. Mm. But if you're not and you don't have that structure at home, you're never going to be able to learn in the way the world wants, nor do we need in the jobs we have around the world so everyone to be that siloed academic person. We need people to be, you know, thinking all kinds of different ways. That my greatest skill is being able to talk to people, but that isn't something I didn't examine.
Correct.
And so
we value the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
We value the wrong stuff, don't we? Like, Florence, just when we don't know the answer to a question on your homework, who do we ask?
You.
No. When we don't know a maths question, what do we shout out? Hey?
Alexa.
Right, exactly. Hey, Alexa, right? So she sits in the corner and answers our maths exams. Now, the reason why that is important, right, is because traditionally we had to know all those things. You'd think back to when it was a British Empire, right, and you had children in 15, 16 different countries, and they'd all be working, producing the same thing, so they had to know the same stuff, right? That's not the case anymore. Like, we don't need a Victorian education system that just wants to know what you know and make sure that it's the same whether you're in Middlesbrough, Norwich, South End or wherever. Like, do you all know the same stuff? It does not matter. And we are now in this, like, I think we're like a post-knowledge generation, really. Like, doesn't matter whether you know the answer to maths questions and things, because your mobile phone and your smart devices in your home will give you the answer to those things. Mm. But if my children come back from school and they don't have emotional intelligence, and they don't have empathy, and they can't speak to people. You know those kids that you meet, and you think there's something not right about this kid, and they have that, they lack that charm, and they're probably top in all the things in
future
their class.
Prime minister, I'd imagine.
Yes, probably. Yeah. But that's what we have to be teaching our children. If people want to watch a really interesting TED Talk, so Ted Robinson, who passed away actually sadly from COVID last year.
Yes, I know the TED Talks you're talking about. It's Sir Ken Robinson, that one.
Yes, amazing.
His talk about education was exactly that, really. That, you know, it doesn't matter where we are in the world, but everything up here is maths, science, technology, knowledge. Down here is dance, drama, art. You know, I already know that Florence is allowed to take one creative subject for her GCSEs. She should be taking five or six. Mm. Her brother maybe should be taking one. So why are they both in that same system?
Yeah. It's so true. And you're right about Ted Robinson, because he does an amazing like animation of what, with the Royal College of Art, I think, or the Royal Society of Art, and they've done this amazing animation of what education looks like across the world and how it just is a sausage factory, how we're all judged on our best before date or whatever, and the date of manufacture, which is the day we're born, and how even putting us in that category is daft, because we all learn at different ways. Like, I'm going through that now with my little girl. I'm like, oh my God, she's still not talking in sentences yet. Oh my God, and you're just stressing out. And then, because there's all these milestones we're meant to hit, but we all know we learn in different ways at different rates, but society Absolutely. Forces into this, you know, ridiculous regime that we're all meant to follow. Or otherwise we're deemed not bright, which is one of my pet hates in life, when you're either in the, or she's really fun, but she's not very bright. I bet she is bright in a million other ways, but just not in the way you're judging her at this moment.
Yes. What is bright? What is bright?
Down with the sausage factories.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I don't want to run out of time before we talk about technology and different ways of measuring excellence, because it is a double-edged sword. I want to talk about social media, because that is a window. I would describe myself as someone who uses social media heavily because I know I have to make my job run even smoother. It's a great way to get comedy out there. If I'm not doing Have I Got News For You or Not The Week or whatever that week, I can get the jokes out first, blah, blah. So I've become a heavy user by default. Would I, if I wasn't doing this job tomorrow, be a heavy user? Would I have any of it? Quite like the idea of fucking it all off. But it's a window that sort of forces us to artificially display what we, our excellent versions of ourselves on a daily basis. Now, there's two aspects to this. One, we can sort of see other people and compete with them and try and be more excellent based on their lives. But at the same time, it's toxic, depressing shit, and I want to smash my head into a spike after looking at someone's glutes. Which is it? And how do you find it, Jake? Do you find this fake window pane, primarily Instagram, and in fact on the day of recording, Facebook has officially gone into decline, and Instagram is probably the leading way we all compare our different levels of excellence, because it's such a visual medium as well. But how do you find it, and how do you think it relates to how people strive for their goals and excellence?
I'm a heavy user of Instagram, and exactly like you, I like to think that if I didn't do the job I did, I wouldn't use it in the way that I do. I think I probably still would, though. Like, the truth is, I sit there and look at other people's lives on there. Well, I don't need to do that for my job, do I? I don't need to scroll through and see what everyone else has done. But also, there is that weird, I think there's been a lot of studies into the fact that our brains are addicted to comparison. Like, comparison is what we do as human beings, and it's part of our evolution, because how do we get better all the time and improve all the time? Well, it's comparison. We look at what's around us and we always want more. That's the way the human brain works. It's the same, like, you buy a car and for the first month you keep it really clean and take it to the car wash. 6 months later, it gets a small ding and you're like, well, it's 6 months old. It's the same car, but your brain has changed in terms of your relationship with it. And I think that human beings are designed in that way. So we have to be really careful. And I think it's really bad for us and it's really unhealthy. And I think that we have to just check all the time how we feel about it. And I think you have to be really clear that you are comparing your real world to someone else's highlights reel. You know, the very fact that we can edit our photos before we put them up on social media means it is not real. And I remember actually we went on a holiday with the kids not long ago and we had a bad weekend. Sebastian, who is notoriously really well behaved, behaved really bad. And we sat there having a meal. I said, look, let's just get one photo at least. And we all smiled, right? Took a photo, like grinning at the camera. I put it in the family WhatsApp group and my sister replied and said, why is your life so perfect? And then you think, why did I bother doing it? Like, why did I want my own family to see that little window of perfection? So we're all addicted to doing it. We're all addicted to watching it. But I think we have to understand that the toxicity of it is definitely real and will impact us in the end.
So, Steph, I accidentally ran a controlled experiment, me and Lindsay, not on purpose. While I was away on holiday and posting things I shouldn't because I was drunk, I did like the first ever.
By the way, I loved them. You lot dancing drunk in that restaurant was absolutely brilliant.
Tits out, topless selfie online, which attracted an all right amount of likes. The excellent version of my fit self. And then another video with me being really funny in something got a lot more likes. On Lindsay's feed, almost the total inverse. She's a property investor. Here's her doing this amazing transformation video of her refurbing a house. And another one, she's just looking fit with me. Twice the amount of likes. So Lindsay's had a reverse experience on her social media. The one that was more shallowly physical attracted the more attention. You look so good. You look excellent, if you like, for the buzzword of what we're talking about today. And mine, where I thought I'd get all the props for looking excellent, they're like, oh, fuck off, you Bellin. How funny are you? Or what have you done? I mean, that is so depressing. This is 2022. I thought gender had been abolished about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm quite new to Instagram still. So I joined it a year ago. And I was kind of made to, because I was like, you know, daytime telly is very Instagram friendly. That's where a lot of our viewers will be as well, because I'd only ever done Twitter, because when I was doing serious news, apparently that's where you are for that. And I found it fascinating, the whole, as you say, if I put a picture of me looking thin and looking like the best I've ever looked, it will get way more likes than if it's just a normal shot of me. However, if I do a really terrible shot of me, like on purpose, like here I've just woken up with a massive hangover, that will also get loads of likes because people are then like, oh, you're so real, Steph. We love you for being so real. But yeah, they want both.
But if you put a video clip of you like skewering some politician or getting a consumer rights win in a knockout, people will be like, oh, that's really good, that. But can you do another hangover pic?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, how fucking depressing is that?
You're right. Whenever I do work Instagram posts, they never get the same favouritism as the others. But I have to say, I know it's easy for us to slag off social media, but I also think it does open a window for people who are lonely as well. And I know there might be seen a perfect life, but I've got a friend who's talked about having premature babies. And she had both of her children were really premature. And she's used Instagram as a way to connect with other women who have been in the same position as her. So for her, like, it's more than just a place for looking at, people living the perfect life. It is a community. And she's definitely, it's helped her mental health no end because of that.
Of course. One last quick question, because I realise we're out of time. Jake, we have to go back to pretending we're single again.
Yeah.
Is someone who is really excellent at everything sexually attractive, or is, because we're British, we quite like someone excellent, but she's got a wonky tooth, keeps her real? It makes me very nervous when someone's excellent at everything. It just takes the edge off the sexual attraction. I don't trust perfect people. You know, I like people to be a little bit shit at some things. That's a turn on.
I agree. I mean, the thing is, like a lot of people, like, imposter syndrome is real, right? I'm sure all three of us on this call have it. Like, we did a high performance live show the other day and all these people are sitting there thinking, oh, what are you going to tell us? And my brain is going, think of all the things you don't know rather than the things that you do that are useful for these people. And I think that someone who is excellent is a struggle for me. And actually, I don't find excellence attractive or appealing. I mean, I've always weirdly had a proper crush on women who've got like a wonky nose. And I always say to Harriet, gosh, she's really attractive. And Harriet's like, that's another woman with a slightly wonky nose. What is your...
That will definitely have a name. I'm Googling it.
But maybe that in itself...
Oh my God, you're a Rhino Wonka file.
But you know what? Why don't we completely change the conversation, right, to the fact that everyone is kind of perfect in their own way? Not being good at everything doesn't mean that you're not perfect. Like, us three are literally perfect because this is what was designed. We're where we should be. We're doing what we should. We're probably doing our best. And even on our bad days or when we're idiots or we do stupid things, it's because we're normal human beings. But that is still our perfect because we're imperfect beings, right?
Yeah.
So let's just be kinder to ourselves. Like, life is going to kick us in the balls or punch us in the guts anyway. Why do it to yourself? So, Harriet, you're perfect.
Fair play, preach. But Steph, do you want to bang excellent people or not, Steph?
Well, this is really interesting because no matter what your job is, excellence in it is really attractive. Like, I do find that attractive in people. Like, I tend to have gone out with people who are good at their job, whatever job they have. And it's not perfection and it's not arrogance. I'm not saying you know, I'd want to date people who are arrogant. Definitely not. I think that's really deeply unattractive. But just there's something about someone being good at their job, which I just think is dead sexy.
I mean, on that note, I think we need to... We're so excellent, we've finished with a minute to spare. Thank you very much to Jake Humphrey and Steph McGovern. You've been listening to Man Baggage, where we've been talking about excellence, how it affects men and women differently in all aspects of our life. I've been Russell Kay, not Nick Grimshaw. Please stop messaging me that. If you've liked what you've heard and you've happened here as a fan of either Jake or Steph, highly likely, hang around. Hit subscribe. Do catch up with previous episodes. We talk about a lot of different subjects. Sometimes we go light, sometimes we go deep, sometimes we go dark. Leave a review, but please leave a 5-star one because I'm striving for perfection every day, bitches. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.